You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
And gentlemen, I have a cloud lifter coming to the house. Do you know what that means?
I do not.
I mean, you lift all the dark clouds from my life. So
thank you.
It
means it's over for you hoes, as they say. It's like an additional 40 decibels of clean gain, as they say. And I'm going to sound so beautiful and crisp that you guys are going to struggle to compete when I mix this down. Mm. So you fellas might have to get them as well. Also, sorry for a little production on the air. We got to do a little video version of this soon because I have a full YouTube studio in my house that I want to test out.
Cool. You just have to send us the link so we can buy the stuff we need to buy, remember?
Well, I wanted to test it out because I don't know if I just sent you guys down the garden path or if this is lit.
Sure. Help us out, snitch bastard Judas. We'll see what you can do for us, okay? Mm. Let's say thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to Run for Cover Records.
Hell fucking yeah.
Thank you to Convulse Records.
God damn it, yes.
Thank you to Live a Lie.
Come on now, of course.
Thank you to Closed Casket Activities.
Indubitably.
ClosedCasketActivities.com. Let's go there. Let's buy some The Pit Recording Studio Benefit t-shirts. Y'all know the story of The Pit. It is a music studio recording of the hardest of the hard, the heaviest of the heavy, the thuddest of the thud.
And self-defense. Music.
And he did self-defense family stuff.
A military gun.
Oh, and military gun. Who I think should add horns just full-time. That's just the path.
That's everybody, yeah.
It's ska punk. So it's ska punk without horns that we need to hear. The Pit Recording Studio was unceremoniously booted, given the eviction notice. And we got to give big ups to our buddies at Closed Casket Activities for stepping up, really putting on for the dude who's been a big part of their discography. He's been a big part of hardcore for the past 15 years. So major shout outs to Taylor Young, major shout outs to The Pit Recording Studio. Go get one of these benefit shirts. So the one I like the most is, I think, the King 9 intro shirt.
That was my favorite, too.
Yeah, it just says in very nice, clean, stark text on the front, King 9 intro.
That's fantastic.
Fantastic. If that ain't your speed, maybe you want the rotting out Dodgers ripoff.
The Downpressor shirt, I always loved that artwork.
Love it. Album art, very cool. And they all have the same back hit, which is the forged in the original Pit recording studio in Van Nuys, California. Keys on Van Nuys? Nah, The Pit in Van Nuys. So go to closedcasketactivities.com, get that. Salute to Dusty Cloudin and major shout out to Taylor Young. Guys, we're going to go to Live a Lie. Livealie.com. Click on that web store. Live a Lie brings us the best and fast and ugly and hard and a lot in between hardcore. I am kind of tempted. The last couple of days has really got me. He had some pretty big distro updates. And this is the thing I need to tell you. Will at Live a Lie will get in some of the coolest distro stuff. Label out of Europe, RSR. Deals in mostly the fast stuff. He gets in their releases, and guess what? It's the only way to get them stateside without spending an arm and a leg for shipping, which I've done before to Germany, I believe. And it's not fun. It's not fun when you spend more on the shipping than for the product. No fun. And the one I'm going to point out is the Negative Bias self-titled LP, which is on RSR, but it is a band from North Carolina, kind of fastcore-ish, but like has some Japanese stuff in there, influence. Like, it's really good. And it is not, the record cover kind of has a like very simple, almost silly look to it, which I think fits the vibe. But then when you hear the music, it's very blasting. So that's my personal pick, is the Negative Bias 12-inch. But you should check out everything and keep an eye on that distro. Like, you go through, you're going to find a lot of stuff. So shout out to Will, shout out to Live a Lie, the label, and shout out to Will, to Live a Lie, the distro, toliveali.com/store. Get it.
Hell yeah.
Guys, how you doing? How you feeling?
Feel great, actually. Thank you. Mm.
It's like almost midday for you. It is late night over here. I am, I've been up since a crisp 4:30 a.m. Yeah, spent most of the day in the car. Had some family biz to attend to in Connecticut this weekend. It was all good. No issues.
Very nice.
My only request was that we didn't spend the entire day Sunday in the car. But that's exactly what we did, guys.
I-95 for like 10 hours. It's fun.
Yo, you know what's even better? I don't do I-95. This was just because it doesn't go to that part of the state. It's 84 to 87, and yo, why was there? But one, the redo in the Sloatsburg rest area completely.
You hit Sloatsburg.
I didn't hit Sloatsburg because it's shut down. Okay. Like, both sides, the southbound side, which is the inferior version, the northbound side, which rips, totally shut down. They're redoing the interior. I'm very curious about it, but there was a complete stop there. Let me rage against the machine here. Electric cars. What did the term Patrick settled on? Baby mama is the way to go here. Baby mama. My babe got an electric car, fully electric. Kind of cool. Yo, guess what sucks? When you have an electric car and the electric car charging stations have like 3 out of 6 chargers that are broken.
Yeah, it sucks having to hang out
waiting.
Having to hang out at Target for 2 hours while you wait for somebody at the electric pump.
Yeah. So that was a fun adventure today at the Garden State Plaza, which is in a county, I think Union County maybe, where it's still blue laws. So it's this giant mall and all of the stores are closed because it's a no retail on Sundays thing.
What? Wow.
Yeah. It was some real dark stuff. So, but I was very excited to get the invite today to do a late night recording. Tom, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. Not as good as Pat. Mm-hmm. I didn't get stuck in traffic.
Yeah, somewhere in between traffic.
Okay. I'm fine. Went to a couple shows we can talk about. For our show.
We should talk about that.
I tried to get into another show, but it didn't work out because parking in Brooklyn sucks a deet. So,
Here, before we get into the heavy of it, I was driving through a small town, Millerton, New York, and I saw someone. It's like one of those kind of like cutesy towns. I saw a guy wearing a protester shirt, hardcore band from DC. Good band. People should check them out. But like, definitely like on the deep cut side of things. They're not wearing a Madball shirt. Let's put it like that, you know?
Yeah.
What's the correct public protocol in 2023 as a full-on adult? Should I holler out the car and like, yo, protester rips, ah! Should I done a like hardcore rules? Should I give him a honk and just like a thumbs up? Like, what's the correct protocol? Because I didn't do anything.
Well, that's
in a car. It's kind of tough.
Yeah, because no matter what, it's like a confrontation. You know? Like no matter what.
Yeah, like my options are to startle him. Full stop.
Right. If somebody yelled "hardcore rules" out of a car window, I'd be like, "And what?" You know what I mean? Like, what's happening right. next? So I think, you know, I think if you say something specific, it can be funny and affirming. So if you drove by at 30 yeah. miles per hour and yelled,
Trash King Records rules. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like right. I love the demo. I thought the 7-inch wasn't as strong.
Yeah. You know, right.
That type of thing is fun.
Okay. All right. It's well, tough. I'll use that. Yeah. Right. Driving by tough. Right.
I mean, even in person, cause I think people try to do like the, like, hey, let's make a fucking connection here as a human. And people don't know how to do that anymore.
Yep.
No, that ain't the.
There's no more hardcore nod. You know, like you see somebody in the street like wearing a fucking AF shirt, you'd be like, "What's up, buddy?" You don't even have to even know.
Oh, I mean, that was. I mean, I made like lifelong friends like that. I think I've mentioned this. I was at a small boardwalk in Manasquan, New Jersey, and I was wearing a 10-yard fight shirt. My buddy Matt was with me wearing a Descendant shirt, and this dude Tyler came up to him and was like, "Oh, you guys like hardcore? Awesome." And it was like we were friends immediately. Like that was it, you know?
Right. But you know what, you bringing this up is give me fucking PTSD flashbacks to the time when we drove out to the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania for the One Step Closer record release.
Mm.
And a woman came up to me and was like, "Who are you having fun so far?" Like, and I was like, oh, yeah. Cool. Remember, and I had to explain, like, yeah, I'm here for hardcore. Like, I'm not someone's uncle. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I am someone's uncle, but like, I'm here because I like, I have a fucking straight edge sweatshirt on. Like, I'm like, yeah. It reminds me of that. Then I'm kind of like, maybe I don't want to connect with the youth of today. That I'm like, yo, I like fucking, yo, Madball, cool. I love Madball too. Like, because people are fucking weirdos and they go, okay, Gramps, let's get you home.
Right. And now it's there are questions to be answered. I liked, by the way, I've gotten very positive feedback on the level of brain deadedness that Wilson was last week, which was exactly what I was going for.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, somebody told me anything.
Somebody told me there was a point where I answered when one of you gave an answer, I said, "Oh, yeah, that's okay." Okay. Which I felt like I was really like slipping into character there. So that was a nice moment. Well, let's hardcore about. I think we had a few different things to talk about. Well, we got a lot of stuff. It's going to be a little loose, but we had some topics to hit. Patrick, hit us with the first topic of the day.
Hardcore Twitter. I woke up late, saw people getting either hostile, defensive, or dismissive because a band respectfully that I've never heard of issued the controversial statement that if you are in a band and you are not, hold on, I might be able to find it. If you're in a band and you're not talking about X, Y, or Z, then you're not a punk band. You are a brand with a soundtrack. This will make a better story if I can find it. But it is, I saw people, you know, look, nobody was super aggressive. I hate when people get defensive. Right. Because it's like you embarrass yourself a little bit, getting defensive over a stranger's opinion. It's if I added up all the strangers' opinions about me in this world and took them to heart, it wouldn't go great for me. So you just got to dismiss this stuff. But, here's the exact language. If your band doesn't talk about the vast atrocities being committed against trans people, POC, women, working class people, or the planet, period. Okay. Well, this person's struggling with they could have made either work if they had done whatever. You're not a punk band. You're a brand with the soundtrack. Okay, so that's Ultra Deluxe. I don't know. Ultra Deluxe might be the coolest dudes on the planet. Might be the best music on the planet. Not familiar. Here's what I'm going to say. That's one opinion. Like that's fine. Like it's all good. Like, I don't know about you fellas, but Ultra Deluxe has never cut me a check, nor have they visited me in jail. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
There is a point to that though. I think like maybe you're not a punk band if you don't have a message.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. I'll air my shit out right now. This isn't me trying to be superior to anything. It's just stating that I've done the thing for a long time and I am completely above these judgments. I don't give a shit about being punk in any way. It's like, you know, the way that a lot of adults feel about straight edge. They're straight edge by virtue of the fact that they were straight edge as kids, and they don't have any interest in drinking or drugging, but it's almost like that just it, that's fine. That fits me fine. I'm not invested in the.
Let's pin in this because this is another topic that I want to get to.
Sure, yeah. I'm not invested in the title. This is just a lifestyle for me. Okay, that's largely how I feel about punk, which is to say, if somebody said I'm not punk, I'd be very at peace with that. And if somebody said you're too punk, I'd say I'd be very at peace with that. It's of no consequence to me. I live exactly how I want, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to do so. My only ambition in punk is to express myself. That's my only ambition in music. That doesn't mean that politics won't come up. I live on a planet, but I have zero obligation to talk about politics. I have an admiration for the artists who say things like, "I'm an artist and I'm offended that you would bring politics into what I do." That resonates with me. But obviously I love a lot of political bands. So I do not agree with Tom's assessment, but once again, I'm not the best conversationalist for this, because ultimately I would go, all right, again, you know, I don't have to be punk, you know? So, I can't fight it as you know, I can't provide the strong rebuttal that I would like, because I'm too zen on this subject.
I'm saying, like, if you consider yourself a punk, and you don't have something to say, then maybe you're not – like, I'm not saying, like – you know what I mean?
I think it's good.
Well, here's the thing. Tom, I think that intuitively that feels true. But then we've also known people who – their existence is very punk. And I'm not talking about like I'm not talking about kind of like
Like Liberty Spikes at your coffee job.
Yeah. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like people who, okay.
Drug shirt song.
So we know different types of people. We know, people who, fit like kind of a, what do you call it when something is retrofit with qualities, that it didn't necessarily originally have? I forget what it is, it's not a bacchiotomy, but the point is okay, so there's the political in the way that we understand things, and we could say somebody's life is political. You could argue that a trans person's life in 2023 is politicized with or without their consent, right? Like,
a vegan diet could be a political item by nature of its existence.
Sure, and you can make these arguments. Certainly, you could say you could say broadly or in certain communities, being a black man is a political statement, regardless of the consent, right, of the person. There's a lot we could go in all those directions, and those things are real enough for me. We could talk about them, but I think that there's also people that we know who are punk by virtue of the fact that under no circumstance could they possibly fit in regular society. They're incompatible. You know that expression, incompatible with life, where they're describing injuries it's an ambulance term, I think. Injuries incompatible with life. There's people whose life is incompatible with society. So to those people who are not explicitly political in that they might not have any views whatsoever, they might see themselves as apolitical, but their
mere existence is punk.
Exactly. So Tom, that's where I would probably, it's just another item to put a pin in and say, I somewhat disagree with the idea that you would have to say something. You know what I mean? Or to have a stance, so to speak.
I think that I learned about the idea of being punk through a hardcore kid lens, and that maybe informed my idea that not everything has to be political in the way that we think of political on a like true baseline understanding that I think a lot of people want to make it. Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. Like, to me, in my head, being punk is a Gorilla Biscuits line. Like, I don't fit in with my peers and I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's punk to me. Like, it's knowing, like, hey, I don't fit in with the majority of these people, and that's okay. And people define it themselves, you know, like a very punk dude once told me, he's like, well, I know what punk means to me, but I'm not going to tell you that. Like, it's just, I know what it means to me. I know what it is for me, but that doesn't mean it's going to be what it is for you, nor should it be.
Yeah. And I also think we have a very bad habit of aspiring or of ascribing, like positive value to otherness. And I don't mean to say that I don't mean to say that we should do the opposite. That's the what I'm saying is simply because something is simply because we are sympathetic to something doesn't mean that everything that falls under that umbrella it needs our sympathy. Like an example I would use is the fella from Kickback, singer from Kickback. You know, look, I don't know this guy. And if I'm ever in Thailand again, maybe I'll say, hey, let's go out and have a mineral water. But the thing is, a vast number of people say, hey, a number of people say, this dude sucks. His message is toxic. I don't like the way he conducted himself when he was in, you know, Paris hardcore scene or whatever it is. And therefore, they would prefer to not count his punkness because he's outside the good dude rubric, right? But yo, that dude is as punk as it fucking gets. You know what I mean? And my point is that we have to be outside of good bad value assessment when it comes to just things that are defined. With like their definition exists outside of those maybe silly umbrellas. So, I think that we have a bad habit of doing this of like, we like punk. So everything that is good and outsider is punk and everything that is bad and outsider is sketchy or whatever. And it's like, well, listen, right. You know,
I mean, punk makes you feel uncomfortable. A true punk. I think that's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's like,
good, bad, or indifferent. Yeah.
Right. If it affects the way you think about things, that's cool. And it upends like your thought processes, that's great. If it's, you know, if it's fucking Gigi Allen and he's fucking flinging poop, punk. I'm not down with it, but like that's punk as fuck. I mean, whatever, man.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to consider something else, you know?
Real quick, have you, real quick, has Eric been sending either of you the AI images that he's been making today on the plane?
No.
He was on a Twitter run about the sphere in Vegas that I kept seeing.
I did not see that.
And he was just being like,
I'm gonna go see you two there next month. Fuck it.
Whatever. Like, you know, lemon party at the sphere, fucking goatee. I'm like, it was just like over and over, like the same fucking joke for like an hour.
He's typing in celebrities fronting hardcore bands for this prompt in whatever one of these generators is. And just, I'm sending you guys the image right now.
Please do.
One of the images. Here's what makes it funny to me. Forget, like, you know, AI is just a tacky, stupid tool that but look at these, look at what it believes hardcore to be.
Wow.
Firstly, the
did he put Jimmy Fallon in there?
Yeah. It's Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, I thought that was just Pat Flynn. God damn it.
No, but here's my question. Why is everybody wearing a shirt that says hardcore? So for people that don't know what we're looking at right here, our friend Eric has been typing things like Jimmy Fallon singing in a hardcore band into an AI image generating prompt. And the images he's getting back.
The strike is over, man.
They are looking nominally like, okay, these are recognizably hardcore shows. I mean, I don't know what's going on with the fella with the, like Jim Rose circus face tattoos, but and I don't know why in the one photo top right there, mm-hmm. How many people are in that band? I don't really understand what's going on. I guess that makes sense. No, there's a definite additional.
There's three guitar players, but the Jim Rose guy looks like Pete Kohler.
Oh, he kind of does, but everybody. Here's what makes the thing funny to me is the prompt is. It's simple prompt. Jimmy Fallon singing in hardcore band. And everybody in all three images is wearing a shirt that says
hardcore.
That just says off, the word hardcore. So like, this is what, like what does the machine's brain, what does the Skynet's brain think is that everybody that attends a hardcore show is in such celebration of the genre that they're just wearing shirts that on an empty field just have the word hardcore. It's very funny to me. Anyway.
You're wearing a shirt that just says like football.
Yeah, exactly right. Although my shirt that just
was a good prank. God damn it.
My shirt that just says Vietnam, it was a hit with people.
Right. Cause it's like, are you celebrating?
Well, yeah, that's what makes it fun. It's like, I'm just wearing a shirt with the word Vietnam on it. Connotations in the West. Okay.
See, whatever. Who just sent that one? Was that Bob?
No, that was me.
Oh, that was Patrick. See, that's bad punk.
Yeah, that's it. Well, so everybody, we're not going to talk about it, but this is not the front man that you want in the image I just said. This felt, look at his malicious, terrible face.
I mean, I think the worst part of it is the raping.
Yeah. For everybody that doesn't know,
Bill Cosby.
There's a Bill Cosby reference going on here. That
I mean, everybody knows he sang in an hardcore band for a little while around 86. It's okay.
Yeah, those were his temple days. So. Everybody, go enjoy the. I mean, Eric only put people like despicable people as hardcore frontmen, right? Like Jimmy Fallon
Jimmy Fallon and Bill Cosby, who
the same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
Well, he only put despicable people. Anyway, the point is, how do we feel about a person on Twitter, band on Twitter, rather, saying you're not punking less?
It feels very pick me, to be honest. It feels like some attention-seeking behavior. And, yeah. We need, you know,
somebody should
call a licensed professional or a parental unit to just do a check-in and be like, "Are you okay?"
So,
but here's the thing. I mean, I get it. You know,
I mean, I get. There's a point to it, and I can see where that person's coming from, or that band's coming from. Mm-hmm. I mean, that person in representing the whole band, but. The more we talk about this sort of stuff and the more I think about it, I'm like, you know, it's not always like easy to write those sorts of songs.
Nah.
No, it's hard. Like, look.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can use your space, like your fucking, you know, your time on the stage. Like, you may be able to more eloquently talk about it in between songs and then go into a song about fucking drinking with your friends. Rather than try to like write lyrics that are like both intelligent and like memorable about like, you know, fucking the Vietnam War or something.
Sure. The whole thing is, I mean, okay, we're adults. I guess what I'm saying is I struggle mightily with poorly done political music. I can at my best, I can say that's a cool spirit. That's nice, but that's condescending as shit. You know what I mean? Like when we're talking about actually enjoying a thing, finding value in a thing, getting something out of it. Very, very hard to do when something is in, like I've talked about on this podcast a number of times, when it is not actually political, it's just sloganeering. That's tough, man. And I get it. That's what punk is to a very large degree. But if there's anything that alienates me from new punk music, it would be, hey, here's a very pat and simple solution to a complex problem. And I'm not going to explore it any more thoroughly than a chorus. And it's like, well, there was a time in my life that may have excited me, and that time in my life has passed because the more you understand a thing, the more you need it fleshed out for to engage. You know what I mean? Like I can't talk. We have very Wilson level conversations on this podcast sometimes, but that's mostly for the benefit of starting conversations among our listeners. We've had some of these conversations 100 times. Like when we get questions, and I'm not talking about on the air, I'm talking about in our lives. There's times that we get questions that we answer that, you know, we answered for ourselves 20 years ago. You know what I mean? So
that's right.
Look, if you are 19 and the most important thing in the world to you is a political message found in music, I don't just support you. I'll do a distro to get you that music. I'm happy for you, but it's tough. I would need to be challenged by something real for myself at this point. And look, if people can make suggestions, that's awesome, but I don't encounter a lot of it.
Yeah,
that's fair.
It is. It's a conversation it's well-trod ground. And, you know, I'm not going to do the well-trod ground here that I want to, which is, you know, right now, maybe we're lacking the bands who are doing the political thing, or maybe we're lacking the bands calling people out for not doing anything. But quite often those two things aren't the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? And I hate it when the person who's saying, hey, people aren't being political, and then it's like, yeah, neither are you, you dumb fuck. But I don't know. It's interesting. We talk about it, music message, blah, blah, blah. Is this just angst music? Is it just angry music? Is it just young people getting out their emotions? I see a lot of people who are case in point. I'll go direct. You're familiar with The Best Show, right? Anybody? The Best Show. It's a long running podcast content thing. I think it's on one of the. It's a New Jersey thing, but it's like a national thing. This guy AP Mike, big fan of music since the 70s, 80s. He was around. He was probably in his, like, you know, young 20s through most of the 80s. Has a really cynical view of hardcore at large, like, and has held it from then. And he's the dude who's like around, who's just like, yeah, that shit's whack, that's lame. The music can be okay, but it's mostly just dummy, like, dudes being dumb. And I go to the show, I don't see any girls, you know, I don't see any women, you know, I see this and I think the music's just okay. So if you're not connecting to it, you can be super skeptical, super critical of it, and point out some of the obvious, like, you know, okay, if somebody's looking at it from a certain point of view, they can catch all that stuff. And that's how I feel like some people will look at it, you know, and say, you know, is Earth Crisis a political band, right? Like, it feels easy to say no. I think I'd probably argue yes at this. Yeah, right. You know, yeah, right.
It is.
There's a lot of bands who clearly aren't, but what they're saying isn't, you know, like, look, is 10 Yard Fight a political band? No, they are not. Full stop. However, in their relatively fastball pitch, straight edge lyrical content, there's certain commentary on, like, oh, the war on drugs, et cetera, et cetera. You know, like, do I think the person was trying to have a deeply rooted conversation about politics? I don't. I don't think that Wrench was trying to have a super political conversation in those 10 Yard Fight lyrics, but he did take a second to note this thing, and he's like, oh, you know, like, they're not going to ban a product and they're not going to do this. And they're like, it was interesting, even at a young age, hearing that. And I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, that's not the way, you know, I don't see straight edges being that to me personally, but I thought it was an interesting conversation to have about the mass marketing of the war on drugs in the 80s and then bleeding into the 90s and all these programs that were anti-drug, anti-alcohol, that are like, well, yeah, but they're not going to like they're not going to cut these things that are major sources of funds for political engines, you know? So you can be fully critical and understand that politics appear in places that they aren't, even if something wouldn't be identified as political.
Yes, but Okay, I'm doing an unfair thing right now. You know, when somebody comes to the attention of the larger world, I wasn't familiar with Ultra Deluxe prior to this conversation. And the thing that people intuitively do, and it's not necessarily fair, is to pick through that person's work and with a very critical eye, right?
And, sure.
And I'm doing that right now. And, you know, it's interesting. The lyrics, I don't know exactly what they're talking about in terms of being political, because, this music is as political as my music, like so far as I could tell, you know what I mean? But maybe they're just living what I would want them to do and not sloganeer. Right. So that's cool. Maybe, but by that virtue, but if we're putting things under that lens, then okay. I guess everything is political. All right. It's boring conversation.
Boring. Yes.
But here's an interesting thing. They describe themselves as socialist cyber scrams. Now, Tom, don't vomit. I don't know how sincere they're being with, you know, right. Like I wanted to brace you.
That makes me.
I wanted to brace
socialist cyber scram.
Right, right. But who knows? That might be. You know, I would describe self defense as you know, imperialist witch house. They don't mean these words don't mean anything, right? So, but here's what. No, it looks like it might be socialist cyber scram. Okay, but here's what I find interesting. This political thing is a joke because socialist. Like, my politics lean anarchist, and when I see the word socialist, I go, "Oh, that's like adorable, bro." Are you gonna vote for Bernie? You know what I mean? It's just funny because in the same way that you enter the prison population and you think you're big, and then there's a properly big person, and you're not ready. The same way that you go to a show and you're the tough guy of. I don't know.
Eighth grade.
Yeah. You're the tough guy of eighth grade. And then you hit the yard. It's ninth grade. Oh, no. Yeah.
There's always somebody tougher than you. That's what my dad always said.
Right. And it's a true fact. And politics are the same thing because, like the idea that socialism is even like, by my standard, that's not even a political position. You know what I mean? That's very like entry level, like not engaging sort of like real talk about changing people's lives. It's like bumper sticker level, but
it's a placeholder to say, I don't really know what I want.
Oh no. I mean, listen, there's plenty of people that live their whole lives as socialists and God bless them, but it's just not like it's not a challenging position is what I'm saying.
When I see it plastered around, that's how I feel about it. And it's a more nuanced conversation, but I think I feel the way that a lot of people do when they see it is that like, hey, I actually think there's some interesting points to it, like many political stances, but I think that quite often it's a placeholder where it's like, and they're sussing through it. So I don't know. There's a longer conversation for Patreon, I think.
Sure. It'll be very boring, but here's the thing. Look, you know, I'm scrolling through here's the thing to do. And this is not to shit on Ultra Deluxe. So again, I do not know their music, but just when you feel somebody like kind of make an assessment of your credentials or whatever. I don't know, just examine. I say this all the time. Self-Defense got a bad review. I went and looked. The guy's album of the year was Gnarls Barkley. What can I do for that? You know what I mean? And this is kind of the way that it is.
Did it make you crazy?
It took a full great second work in my head because I was like, oh, right. That's a song that exists. I've been in a Target.
Right. So what do you stand? You don't stand a chance against stuff that plays at Target at 2 a.m. when you're trying to fucking steal vegan cold cuts.
Yeah. You're trying to get your dad some Hawaiian rolls and, you know.
That make me cray. Yeah. You're like, here.
So anyway, look.
Canceled.
It's everybody, you are your own judge in this life, unless you're in a courtroom, in which case, best of luck to you.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everything. everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
So, all right, next topic. A really quick hit here. I think of it because I don't know what was in my cereal that day, but I decided to song In Your Face by Slapshot got in my head, which the chorus goes, straight edge in your face, straight edge in your face.
Of course.
Classic track, deeply political for all those punks out there. But it was... Something hit me as a 40-something-year-old man, which I can't remember. 40? Am I 41? I think I'm 41. It's a very confrontational version of Straight Edge, especially lyrically. And I was like, oh yeah, this really hit me as a kid. Like I really got on with it. Like this was a track for me, and I loved it. I love Slapshot. I still love Slapshot, and I still love that song. But I was thinking about it, and I was like, okay. And I am the first to go, hey, man, it's cool. You know, like, do whatever you're going to do. I don't care, you know. Like, Straight Edge is fine. It's just my thing, you know. When I was 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, the version of Straight Edge I wanted lyrically was confrontational and aggressive. And not kind of like mellow yellow, which I purport to be in my senior citizenship here. And I wonder if that's missing from certain spaces, whether it's about Straight Edge specifically or hardcore in general. Maybe that kind of is a different context. Is that level of like abrasive... Like abrasive, confrontational, outside of the boundaries, missing, or is it in a different way and I'm not seeing it?
I don't see anything remotely like that, but I fell down a hole of kind of like uber vegan stuff. I'm always, when we talk about politics, that's one that I would love for somebody to explore more than kind of like the stuff that kicked off the conversation, right? Like, so we've talked about this a million times. I love Earth Crisis and I even love some of the like D tier efforts from bands to do what they did. But the vegan conversation is not over, is in my view, right? And that's obviously just because I feel strongly about that matter. But there's things to explore. There are conversations to have. So I always have hope for that type of material. And so I went on a vegan straight edge kind of, you know, metal influenced music, of course, mm-hmm. jag a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. And I didn't find too much extremist position. Like to me, it was all pretty softball stuff. And you would expect if it was going to be aggressive anywhere, it would be aggressive. It would be aggressive in that space. Right. So,
right. Yeah.
So something that sounds like, for example, like Slapshot having C4 has some very funny songs.
Right. Right.
But I don't know, you know, I wouldn't exactly say it's the same thing. Right. So, honestly, I don't see that type of energy around very much.
Tom, is it around? We're missing it.
I don't think it's around. I don't think anyone's that angry.
Well, and that angry about like very specific things.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It doesn't seem to be. Also, when Pat was talking about it, have you ever, I don't know if I've ever heard of like, say like a vegan straight edge, like down the middle hardcore band.
Well, especially lyrically, like a vegan straight edge band, I would assume isn't being like, I won't butcher a life for the sake of mine, but hey, if you do, that's cool. Do you too?
Oh, no,
you
I'm saying like,
he's talking like meat and potatoes hardcore.
Like, you know, like, yeah. Oh, not a fucking 10-yard fight band that sings about straight, like vegan straight edge. I don't think.
Yes, correct.
It's gone very
metal.
It's gone like, I mean, Earth Crisis is like Judge compared to how far metal it's gone.
Listen, for all the haters of Earth Crisis, of which there are fewer seemingly every day, Firestorm, it sounds like Judge in 2023. You know what I mean?
At the time, it's kind of like Slayer, but now it's like, yeah, this is Strife and Judge. It makes totally sense.
Yeah. But you're right. I do not see an awful lot of, maybe any, sort of meat and potatoes, fastball hardcore, that is vegan. It's rare.
Okay. Next one. Really quick. I think we talked about this on the Patreon episode. So we will just kind of TLDR this. We talked a bit about the ideas of the merch cut thing and who's to blame and how we can do this and, you know, like, did we ever foresee merch cuts being done away with, like venues actually taking that seriously. 2 days after we recorded that, maybe not even 2 days, maybe a day next later. Day. Yeah. Live Nation drops this whole thing about it's on the road again. Is that the program?
Yeah. I had been in touch with Willie Nelson and I didn't want to blow up our spot.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
But Willie had given me like, you know, a little informational about, you know.
Yeah. Like the little secret handshake.
I mean, I think it came out literally the same day we were talking about it and we looked very prescient. Like that we like kind of had, no one knew, obviously. It was like the best kept secret.
But here's what I would say. Any of y'all who were like, man, good job, Live Nation. Go fucking support a multinational somewhere else too. Go dig on it. Like, I'm not trying to be a dickhead. I know plenty of great people who work for Live Nation. And Live Nation has put on a lot of good hardcore shows and has a lot of good hardcore folks working there. But the amount of glad handing and reach arounds I saw Live Nation being given by fucking the hardcore community was a little rough to me. So I'm going to go a little rough here, which I just did. It's not real. And as it came out days later in the front page news that 4 days later gets the page 7 retraction or additional notes where it's like, oh yeah, you know what? It's only at participating venues and also...
Which was on the announcement, to be fair.
Correct. Totally was. And it's only for a limited time. So we will see. Now, granted, I pray that some bands that are within the sound of our voice are able to take advantage of whatever this fucking program goes. I'm all for people taking money. Full stop.
The merch cuts are going away.
Those are not going away.
No, but I'm saying like they're not going to like be like, psych, as of January 1st, we're taking merch. I don't think they'll ever do that. The other thing is crazy, which I don't know.
The even 1500
per band, per show.
I think that's not happening forever.
I mean, they can't do that forever. I mean, I know they're worth billions, but like there's a lot of shows. There are
and every a lot day, of bands like, who play those shows.
Huh?
Yeah, a lot of bands who play those shows. What, all five bands who are on the fucking Drug Church touring circus show are going to get $1,500 plus at the door?
Right, so they get their $1,500 plus their guarantee?
Yeah.
Like, that's not... probably be, like, adjusted or done away with. I don't know if I don't know if there's any takebacks. That, like, so psych about the
merch cuts? Yeah.
I think that's too far of a step to like.
Revisit this. This is October 1st. Let's revisit this October 1st, 2024. I think these people really love the PR push of it. And it's one of these concept things, you know? Yeah. And when they go, ooh, how much do we take a hit on that? Because you got to remember this, folks. All right, look, look, look. A lot of bands in the punk, hardcore, adjacent world are real up in arms about this thing. If you flip to the other side, there are 10 times the amount of touring acts of different musics who just swallow hard and accept that that is a part of their business. And that if they did 30K in merch, they're paying out whatever thousands of dollars to the venue as the merch cut, because that's just the way it is. That's the way they do business.
Right. They factor into their prices and their, yes.
So we talk about all the like the end around, like, oh, just lie about your numbers, bring merch in after you do the initial count in, blah, 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 all this shit. 90% of people don't operate that way. They just go, yes, we sold $1,800 in merch. Here's your $180. You know, like they do it on the up and up. So just understand, if 6 months later, this was just a nice piece of pub for 6 months and got some people to quiet down about this or quelched some of the complaints, they'll go back to business as usual. If you want change, keep your foot on the fucking gas pedal. I am dubious. Patrick, what say you?
I don't know. I mean,
you can comment. You're hoping to cash in those $1,500 checks.
No. Listen, everybody, I said on the podcast that somebody who was really plugged in had said that they were going away, and that was months and months ago. And I said no. And I still say no, although – so here's the deal, right? Like, famously, Apple's struggled with their iTunes platform, because once you set the price of something, people just associate that, and it's difficult to raise it incrementally when there's, like, some type of – it's just difficult to break precedent in a lot of ways, right? And the only way that you can is if you're – like a monopoly that has leverage on literally every person that you engage with. And that is Live Nation. So if they, any other company, I would say it's difficult to say, hey, we're not doing merch cuts anymore, and then reintroduce merch cuts. That's actually hard, because you're providing people a thing that they really like and then taking it away. People don't respond well to that. But I think the interesting thing about Live Nation is, increasingly a monopoly, not in earnest yet, but certainly can feel like it. They really can just jerk you around. They really could just walk back anything they say. They could say, hey, everybody, we're giving, if you're the first band to the venue that today, we'll give you $1 million. And that's just our new policy. And then then 2 weeks later, they could say, bad news, we're actually taking $1 million from you and your future generations of your family. And there's basically nothing you could do, because they have all the leverage in virtually every scenario. Because, you know, look, there's no solidarity among bands. So you may think that there is in maybe punk, because you and the homies won't play Jim's Nazi skinhead bar or whatever, and you've all gotten together and said, we're not doing that. And that feels like solidarity, and on the small level it is. But when we're talking about, like, look, Pearl Jam went up against Ticketmaster, right? And Pearl Jam was one of the biggest bands in North America at that time. Ticketmaster, to a large degree, said, well, Pearl Jam, there's going to be another Pearl Jam. You know what I mean? And they're
correct, not wrong.
And right. And that's the way that, you know, I mean, look, I've said it before. One of my best friends in the world, booking agent, two of my best friends in the world, booking agents. And it's the bleakest existence I've ever, like, if you're in a room with some of the old head guys, as I have been, who see music as pure commodity and really do not, like, they might as well be trading pork bellies. It is.
Yes.
It is really, really fucking dark. And if you, it can be fun, you know, like when it's a band you don't like and it's like, oh, they're cashed, here's their real numbers. And you're like, oh my God, I'm in heaven, 'cause I want these people to fail. You know, if that's the only time it feels good. if when you relate it to your own music and how much of yourself you put into something, and then to have like, you know, I'll use Not My Friends to sit around with like some of their mentors in that business. Like we're talking properly old guys who have booked some of the biggest bands on the planet. And they talk about music in this deeply offensive way. it's discouraging. It's just fucking, it's makes you not want to engage. And that's why, again, like for the people that in our listenership that want everybody to be playing Basements all the time, that's why I always just continue to validate you and go, yeah, I see it. You know what I mean? Because the other stuff can be really just, you know, it's disheartening. So, this is all to say, I do not see this lasting forever. I wish merch cuts would go away. And it's not an essential part of the business. It's supplemental income for these venues. So, it could go away.
So here's my question.
Just don't think it will.
For you, Patrick, and then I got a question for both of you. Touring musician, you have a ballpark of about how much you get paid every night, whatever.
By the way, Europe, I got to come stronger.
Okay, good. Put that in the soil. Merch cuts go away, but you take a 25% chop off your guarantees, off the amount that you expect to get paid every night. No merch cut, but 25% off that guarantee. Now, you can say it's not worth it. You could say I wouldn't do it. What do you think? Risky trade-off? Worthwhile?
Well,
potential? You know?
Well, if you're talking about merch cut, a thing that everybody lies about or tries not to pay.
Correct.
Then no.
You don't even have to play the game. You know what I mean? Merch is a free-for-all.
So, but if I'm being honest and I'm playing a large room on a good tour.
Yep. Might be tough.
Yeah.
Might be tough. We don't need to get into numbers, but it's one of those things. It's an interesting one. Now, the question for both of you, you made me think of this. Both these conversations, as we were talking about the political punks and whatever you were talking about, steampunk synth or whatever.
Yeah.
Tom.
Yes.
What percentage of musicians would you say in active music, you know, of all types, do like punk and hardcore bands attribute? Like active, what they're doing right now is a punk or hardcore or adjacent act. 1%, 2%, 10%?
Like
overall music genre, etc.
I would say probably 5%, just because like No Effects shit is,
yeah, that's, we will count that, the adjacent,
you know what I mean,
like if somebody want to make an argument that Gaslight Anthem is somehow, I'm like, all right,
fine. I mean, they're probably more of a punk band than fucking Coldplay, you know what I mean?
So that's like, true, they are, you're right. So okay, let's say 5% of the remaining 95%. How many of those, you know, musicians look at music as a commodity more so than art, and how many look at it as art more so than commodity? Break it down. Percentage, if you just gave a percentage.
Oh.
Patrick, you want to answer first?
Ask me the question again. There was a fly on my microphone.
Yeah, no, you got distracted. I get it.
Of the people the 95% that are left over that are playing non-punk hardcore music.
Yes. Yep.
What's the percentage of people that you think look at the music just as a commodity to make money from, or, and what's the percentage of people do you think are like, that's art?
Yeah. So it's the sides are commodity more so than art, or art more so than commodity. Give me a percentage.
Well, I would say probably 60-40, but I also think that you have to factor in delusion. Like there's people who jump
see it as a commodity that it don't make any goddamn money.
Yeah, well, that's the first delusion. Very good. And then there's the second delusion where it's a commodity until somebody insinuates that you don't consider it art, and then you're suddenly the world's most strident and vocal artist in the world. You know what I mean? Like, there's people that get defensive about this whole thing, and suddenly they self-aggrandize around art in a way that's pretty embarrassing from the outside. But look, 60-40. I mean, I run into a lot of people. Like, there's this dude that I met. There's almost no chance that he listens to this podcast, but he
Dave Grohl?
No, but he's
please start a drug search song. There's this dude that I met, like maybe spoken word part.
I met this dude on a 100% hardcore tour, but he is adjacent to adjacent. And that fella, in the same breath that he would talk about why his major label deal collapsed because of the money grubbing scum, would also talk about how he couldn't play local shows because his name is too big and they're not putting up the type of money that he needs. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, this whole like commodity versus art thing, people just fall on whatever side of it they want for their purposes in that moment. Do you know what I mean? So it's very hard to get a gauge on people's true feelings.
And there's a lot of bar bands out there. I bet you the bar bands outnumber the original bands fucking 2-1. So,
so funny.
I don't think they're doing like, you know, Third Eye Blind and think they're being artistic.
At the park the other day, dogs are running around. I'm sitting beside a woman who
having a smoke-o.
I would guess, you know, when you can't tell somebody's age because, like there's 70-year-old, like my dad's 81. He looks pretty damn good. But then there's like 63-year-old, like, you know, I'm going to send you, Bob, I'm going to send you a photo of a man that you've met a few times, who looks 140. He's a year older than me. Anyway, you can never tell, but the woman I was sitting next to was either 70 or 80. And, she knows I'm in a band. She was talking about travel, et cetera. And, is it hard to go back to the United States all the time? And I said, no, it's not bad. I'm very comfortable in that type of travel. I'm a small dude, so planes don't really offend me that much. But you know, I would really love to do a local band that I could just play, like a weekend a month and kind of keep it contained to here. And, she said, oh yeah. She said, I used to follow the bands to shows and stuff, you know, like local shows. It was so nice. You know, some of them were very good. I said, yeah, that's true. She said, some only do covers. I said, you know, I would honestly love to do covers at this point in my life because I have an outlet where I get to do like very creative things. So I just find a lot of joy in singing. And she says, you should. And I said, no, I don't really have it like that. And she says, how do you mean? And I said, well, my voice is objectively terrible. And she said, no. And I said, no, look, I understand where you would feel the need to jump out and say, hey, that's just, you know, of course, that's how you
be good. Be good to yourself.
Yeah, right. I understand.
Can't be to my friend.
Right. Yeah. Like, I understand that. However,
lady, you don't get it.
Yeah, lady. I'm trying to learn Italian right now. I cannot recreate any of the sounds. You know what I mean? And the reason is because I'm basically tone deaf. So I wish that I could do bar band stuff. This was just me adding to the fact that I think that being in one of those bands that does like I think cover bands kind of suck. Like when we're talking about, or tribute bands, I think tribute bands are, that's like a weird life, but I think being
right when they're like, I can't cut my hair because I still gotta look like Ringo, it's like ridiculous.
Exactly. But I
think if you're in a band, you just want to fucking like the wall. I'm sure like they don't dress up like Pink Floyd.
I don't know.
Can't, you know.
I mean,
there's Craig Finn from The Hold Steady.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole thing was like they were the world's best bar band.
Mm-hmm. Accurate.
You can do that. He doesn't sing.
Yeah, but I would love to be in a bar band style band or a pub rock band or something like that. I would love that. But I'm talking about like the ability to like entertain yokels. You know what I mean? Like just entertain people
just who do like Midnight Oil covers, whatever.
Right. People who have no tie to subculture at all.
Like Max Sabbath.
Yeah, not Max Sabbath. Like that does entertain yokels. But what I'm saying is when a normal person goes to a bar and there's a band playing and they've been drinking enough to not be annoyed by a band playing, which is a thing that I would be very annoyed by if I went someplace.
What do you want? I'm just trying to eat a fucking
right.
Come I'm on. Trying to eat a taco in silence. Come stop on, fucking.
But let's say everybody's hammered and that's and
right. You break out like fuck you. I won't do what you tell me. And right. Fucking.
Oh my god.
So yeah, I couldn't do that, but I could. I would like if I had a real voice. Imagine just being the skinny white guy that could break into an Otis Redding song, and people actually go, "That was really good." You
know what I mean? Like, right, like when you first realized like Jack Black could sing.
Oh yeah. Impressive.
But the opposite.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem here. You know,
what I mean? Rick Astley. You'd be you want to be the Rick Astley of 2024.
Yeah, I would like to be able to do my shitty voice over occasionally familiar songs. You know what? Listen, the wedding.
Why not?
When the wedding singer falls apart in the motion picture, the wedding singer. that's what I want to do. That's me now. My life is bottomed out. Okay. Gentlemen, was there another topic that we wanted to hit or is it late where you're at?
I think there's another topic, but we might need to save it for next week because we're hot on it. I think we're hot on it.
And I mean, the Spotify overlords just give us the
it's just an hour. We just get that
to wrap it up because
yeah.
Wait, let's do this.
I had that one thing.
I'm going to challenge you, fellas. Before our next episode, a good amount of hardcore came out this week. Let's do it. We'll listen to it and we'll talk about it. And because I've said it, even if we hate what we listen to, we will find a way to talk about it.
All right. We'll see.
I'm just going to create the list of the stuff that just came out.
We'll see.
Tom, did you want to save it for next time or you want to go in on what you want to go in on? What you got?
I mean, it's up to you guys, man.
Hit it. Let's go.
So, you know, there's been a large divide between like the old people and the young people in hardcore in the last, recent times. Mm. And my experience, so I went to the Triple B Fest, Triple B Streets of Hate Days thing on Saturday. Right.
Hell yeah.
Show was great. Soul Search was fucking dope. Fucking Gutsy Confusion, which is a band that I grew up, going to see, even though they're not much older than me, but they were like the older band to us, and there's this dude who I went to high school with, and I mean, he's legitimately been out of hardcore probably for 25 years.
Yeah.
And now he's back. And I saw him maybe like remember when Mind Force did those two shows in one day at Vitus?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no. Was that last year? Was that 3 months ago? Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't remember. But it was those shows, and he's there, and I'm like, wow, weird. Good to see you, man. And mind you, this is a guy. The last time I really got beat up at a show, he was involved.
Okay.
Which I decided to tell all of my scary friends at the show yesterday, and they were like, "That guy." I was like, "I was 17."
Yeah, right.
I'm like, I could beat his ass now, and I'm like, and now I have friends that can really beat him up.
So this is 25 year beef going.
Yeah, dude. I was trying to save a friend, and I got jumped by six people. Like, it was fine. Like, whatever. And so this dude, I don't know what's going on. If he's on some kind of hallucinogenic, if he's on drugs, if he's drinking, I don't know what the fuck's going on. But he keeps coming back to me. And like
you're
interrupting whoever.
You're magnetic, man.
I know you're being sarcastic, but like I was like having conversations with my friends, like people I hadn't seen in a while, whatever. And like he'd keep like I hate to interrupt, but dude, fucking this guy is fucking killing it on whatever. So then he's like, what you do you guys play anymore? And I go, uh-huh. He's like, you guys did like a big show, right? Like recently. I go, so now I'm like, fuck this dude. I go,
yeah.
Yo, you are so easy to provoke. That's just, listen, that's just some fucking, you know, that's a Brooklyn redneck right there who is outside of things. This, you didn't mean any insult by that. Come on.
No, nah, no, but I mean, but like, you know, like you're on my turf now.
Okay. All right. Sorry. I didn't know it was the Sharks and the Jets. Go on.
Hey, baby. Yo, man. You know what? Like, if you want to be about hardcore, you know, the internet exists. Mm-mm. This dude went to high school with all of us, was in a band with one of the dudes from Indecision. You follow somebody that talked about our show. Like, don't act. So he, like, you played like a show, like a big show recently. And so I was just like, yeah, which one? Yeah. I go, sold out Biohazard show, sold out Gorilla Biscuit show, sold out Integrity show. I was like, we've had a good run. So he's like, going, but he's like, so do you guys like play anymore? I go, yeah. And he's like what? I go, when something fun comes along. He's like, because now he's been like a rave DJ for 25 years.
On the track.
He's like, yeah, I do like the same thing. I go, no. He's like, you know, if they offer me like $1,000, I'll consider it. I go, oh, we don't, no. I was like, that's not in the real, you know, the calculus for us. I'm like, it's mostly like if it's fun and if it's like something cool that we want to be able to say we did or like we got to experience. I'm like, it's not like you could offer me $5,000 to play a fucking bar down the street. We're not going to do it.
Yeah.
It's going to be because we want to play a fucking show with whomever, whatever. So he's like, yo, have you heard this band Mind Force? And I was like, ooh. I want you to get out of my face so fucking badly that like I would give people behind him, like the eyes, like save me. I've never gotten punished. And so my whole thing was like, I would rather have 10 kids, young people come up to me and be like, hey, grandpa, explain negative approach or minor threat to me. And to have some dude who hasn't been involved in 20 plus years, look at him 20 years, even though it was probably 25, come back and just try to slide in like everything's cool. I'd rather have a bunch of young kids that have to try to figure it out and not try to take over and kind of reset the rules of hardcore, but like to kind of come in and be like, I would rather have 10 Wilsons than one William.
Yo, shout out to Wilson.
I mean, I'd rather, you know, like it was just it was such a terrible experience. I mean, also this dude just kept coming back and being, and I'm like, yeah, totally, bro. Like, yeah, I was like, I didn't know. I'm like, I need you to get the fuck away from me. And everyone, I was like, the last time I got beat up at a show was that guy. And like, which I just thought was funny. And people were like, do you want us to, I'm like, it happened literally in 1995 or 1994. I'm like, I've gotten over it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be like, you know what, matter of fact, yeah, can you just get him back for me?
No. I mean, come on. You'd be deranged unless he like gave you a lingering head injury. You'd be deranged. No. But
it would be pretty funny if I was like, you know what, get him.
Yeah, it would be funny.
Bring him on the backyard. Smack him around. It would
be funny. Fuck it. You know what? All right.
It would be pretty hilarious to be like, yo, remember that time so and so had beef with us in
1994? Yeah.
I got him, baby.
I'm in a different space. I would love to see literally anybody from high school, even people I fucking hate.
High school sucked.
Oh, I had a great time.
I went to an all boys Catholic high school and there was like 8 people that were alternative.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't very much alternative in my school, but there's just something to me about shared history that I really enjoy. Like,
we don't share history. I happen to live in the same neighborhood as you and go to a school that you went to.
I went to Brick Memorial. We moshed in the hallways and I got 2 superlatives as a senior. So,
you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the people that I like from my high school are in a band with me.
All right.
But I would take a young person just trying to learn over someone who's like, yeah, but I was around in 1994. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't get credit for a time that you weren't around.
Not at all.
That's like when you see these bands that go 30th anniversary. I'm like, you didn't play for 20 of those years.
Listen,
it's time served, right? You got to be in the game. You got
to
be.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you could have been an OG and you went to shows in 82 and 83 and then stopped going for 40 years. You don't get the same credit that someone like Bob or Pat or me get for being around nonstop for 25.
Yeah, but look, that dude had raves to attend, so I think you got to get off his dick. I'm not bothered by this sort of thing. I think it's fun when somebody Like, look, Drug Church has.
No, I love people coming back. Like, don't get me wrong. I love people that come back that are like, that have used this podcast as a jumping off point that they go, I listen to new stuff and it's fucking great. I'm so glad I'm back. That, I think that's fucking awesome. I have no problem with people kind of, you know, finding their way back to hardcore because it's fucking great. I'm not gonna, you know, but someone like this dude who I also have like my own fucking feelings about that, like him coming back and being like, you guys still a thing? Like, what do you?
Yeah, I mean, that's an annoying thing to ask, period.
Right. Or like, annoying. Have you heard this band? I'm like, yeah, B, I've heard all the bands. I haven't asked.
I get it. But I'm just saying, my experience in Drug Church versus my experience in Self-Defense. Self-Defense is for the heads. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no casuals in what I do. And Drug Church is a more accessible sound and has put in my life like a lot of very casual music fans, like people that I would never interact with otherwise, right? And I appreciate them. I'm not mad at somebody that's like, oh yeah, sorry, I haven't been around for 38 years. You know, I had that thing to do. And you're like, what?
Yeah, I started doing designer drugs in 1996. And
yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind that person. Fuck it.
Stay the fuck out.
You know what? I'm thinking like a business person. I'm like, well, you know.
Like their money's green. They'll buy it. $27.
Come on.
He needs that money. Drug Church money.
Whenever he does that, he sounds like the end of Vegas Vacation when Sid Caesar has the heart attack. I got the money. So, when he has the fucking heart attack at the fucking in the casino, you sound like Sid Caesar. And I sound like I'm 97 years old.
So I still have never seen the movie because I think it's an insult to the Vacation line of films. However,
it's a second one or third one. It's great.
It's the fourth one. And there's two, even though they've replaced the kids in each movie, I still think it's a bridge too far. But I do really enjoy the no corrective lenses today, Mr. Papa Giorgio. I just know that line because my bandmates use it all the time. So I had to go look it up on YouTube. And the no corrective lenses tonight, Mr. Papa Giorgio, is the funniest goddamn thing I've ever heard.
Because Ethan Embry has a fake ID that makes him Nick Papa Giorgio and he wins all these cards. Yes. That's the thing.
I get it. Thank you. I'm just
no problem. I want to explain it to you because you only watched the 30-second clip on YouTube and I wanted to give you the context.
How good a name is Mr. Papa Giorgio?
Nick Papa Giorgio from Yuma? Are you fucking kidding me? It's amazing.
It's very good. I think D'Annunzio is such a good last name. Can we agree on that?
I definitely went to high school with like a Joey D'Annunzio.
Perfect last name.
It's like got that like rolls off the tongue alliteration, like the nun. It's great.
Yeah, you need to get a D'Annunzio in Self-Defense Family. You got space.
You know what? I'll do what I can.
Little Italian music. Let's go.